Blog Talk Radio.
Carol Ann.
Hey, Mary Lynn. How are ya?
I'm doing great. And happy Tuesday to you.
Happy Tuesday the 7th. We got two girls here on Tuesday. And the two girls have something really cool.
We most certainly do. And it's so good to be here today. What a great weekend we had. Power to the patriotism. The patriotism was off the charts.
Amen.
The backdrop of President Trump.
Yep.
Yeah, the backdrop of President Trump, POTUS and FLOTUS, Mount Rushmore, and the fighter jet flyover doesn't get any better than that, right?
Yep. Amen, sister. So it was two gals with two names on Tuesday the 7th, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio, Awaken to Empowerment. So, sister, friends, we have got to have solutions for America. We are in some tumultuous times on this Tuesday. It's crazy stuff. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that, well, first and foremost, God bless a great patriot we lost yesterday, Charlie Daniels. In his honor, he was a big, big contributor to Twitter, and then he always supported the military and the vets.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did was bring forward positive solutions. And that's what it needs to be about. It needs to be positive. It doesn't need to be negative. And you don't need to call people who want to celebrate our Independence Day white supremacists. It doesn't do anything to improve the situation. You know, the old saying, you don't throw gasoline on the fire, right?
Well, girlfriend, you know, the issue is never really the issue. The issue is more about the revolution. I hate to say this, but there is a dark force out there, and it's deep and it's dark, and it's even more than I think we can imagine, because we're people of light and love, and we believe in the best in people. We don't want to control anyone. We want to just live our lives and be happy and share love and peace and empowerment with others. But I think there's a dark force out there that just wants to control everything we do. Hey, do you have your mask on?
Well, I live in Cape Coral, Florida, and yesterday they voted down requiring masks. And the reason why they did that to a very unhappy, I would say a more senior citizen audience, is that they don't want to put the police and first responders in a bad position to have to find people and do the uncomfortable.
Okay.
So what they're suggesting, face masks when you go out. So when you're riding in your car, Carol Ann, with your convertible top down, I want you to have your mask on.
Yeah, that's
you know I do.
You know what, I got to tell you quite honestly. We have here in the land of leaving, having weather like Florida, 93 degrees, and the heat is quite oppressive. And the thing is, those masks, you have them on, and you're breathing your own carbon dioxide. I mean, it's really, I mean, I've heard of people passing out from some of these, this crazy face mask. And I see, you know, these people wearing face masks driving around in their car. The best one is I saw a young kid driving a convertible wearing a face mask. I'm like, seriously. I just, it was a special kind of stupid right there. But
well, my other favorite is the adorable granny at the grocery store with the knitted or crocheted face mask.
No.
So, God love them. God love them. But, you know, I think the face mask thing, just like trying to talk someone into being this or that, you have one vote. You have one opinion. And, again, you have one vote. Exercise your right. Period.
Wait. Be clear on that. A little more clarity. I don't understand what you're saying. What does the face mask have to do with one
vote? Did you just flush the toilet?
No, I'm watering the turtle. I got a turtle, and his little thing looks like it doesn't have water in it. Hey, it's great to be. Hey, it's better than some of the Zoom meetings I've been in with my stupid phone. It's like, oh, hi. Hanging on to you right now.
Yeah.
So you're listening to the special edition of Awaken to Empowerment Radio with two girls, with two gals, with two names on this Tuesday. And we're going to be doing this because what we want to do is we want to help bring actionable solutions to America and this great country. We have a fabulous country. We have a constitution, we have a Bill of Rights, and we are going to share so much fabulous information with you that you're not going to hear anywhere else, only right here with the two gals with two names on Awaken to Empowerment Radio. So, Mayor, I am just really interested because you have a legal background. So I'm sure
yes, ma'am.
When you studied law, did you study constitutional law?
As a matter of fact, yes, I have what I call a BS legal degree.
BS?
And a Bachelor of Science.
A Bachelor of Science.
BS legal degree, and that's about that's about what it gets you. But anyway, my background is all import, export, and trade, and I'm a licensed customs broker. So when our awesome president did what he did with trade, it blows my mind. Anyway, to get back to your point.
Why is that so mind-blowing from your professional experience? Because somebody like me, it's like, yeah, you know what? We don't pay enough. We pay too much. The world gets by with us paying for everybody. That's in my very layman's terms of what I think. Why is this Trump trade agreement, from your perspective, being someone who has been in global trade and things like that with your custom broker's license and your legal background, why was that so fabulous?
Well, I can explain it to you pretty simply. I worked for a very well-known clothing company down here in Southwest Florida. They moved me down here in 99 and love Southwest Florida. And this company was so awesome. It was started. This is why anybody can make it. The founders of Chico's, I'll say the name because I'm not going to say anything derogatory. I loved working there. It was an amazing company. The founders started a T-shirt store on Sanibel Island.
Stop it.
And then they attached. And then they attached a restaurant to it, and it grew from there. And now it's like Chico's Town over there in Fort Myers. I mean, they have so many buildings, and of course, this pandemic has really affected a lot of the associates because most of them have been furloughed, some have been let go, and back to the trade. You'll have to catch me because sometimes I get sidetracked. But with the trade,
no,
I'll give you.
Good. I'm tracking with you. So they started a restaurant. What does a restaurant have to do with clothes? Are we just talking like hardcore entrepreneurs? Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh yeah. He was a genius. And then they had a house down the street from headquarters when I was there in 99, him and his wife, Helene. She was one of the original one of the original major supermodels. And just he and her were just the perfect couple. He was super smart, and he would drive this guy, you know, when he was worth millions, rode to Chico's on a green, lime green woman's bicycle, you know, and he would walk around, and I'd be giving people tours of a very unique corporate office, and they'd go, and I'd go, oh, that's the founder. And my service providers would go, oh, I would have thought he was like the janitor. So
cool entrepreneurs
don't have to.
I want to ask you something. Did they come from means? Did they have means? Did they have this handed to them? Or were they just the average Joe and Jane that had nothing and just worked hard and built something for nothing, from nothing, like Jack Roser, who I worked with over at Champion News and Otto? Was that one of those kind of great American entrepreneur Henry Ford stories?
Oh, yes, yes, definitely. I can tell you that there wasn't a lot of means going on, because for the original Chico's logo, they used one of those just stencils that we used as kids.
That's pretty cool. But see, that's innovation. That's making do. That's not being entitled. Well, you know, I'm starting a business, so I need this, this, and this from everybody to help me out and help me. I mean, they just did it. They just did the do. And so you're saying the guy is really down to earth. And, I mean, are they still around?
No. They have since retired. Last I heard, I've kind of lost track because I haven't been there since 2008. So
right.
The last I heard, they were still on the board of directors, but I don't know if that's still true. Awesome people, Marvin and Helene Grelnick. And Chico's was an amazing company, and I loved working there. But like with everything, things change. But this is where I'm going to segue into trade. In the beginning with Chico's, they started working with a company based out of Turkey to buy T-shirts. We get a lot of cotton T-shirts out of Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when there's something that's called, in wearing apparel, tariff engineering. So if you're just importing from any country that does not have an existing trade agreement, cotton t-shirts, cotton shirts come in at 16% duty. If you're talking about a man-made like polyester or rayon, it comes in at 32% duty. When you use tariff engineering, I used to work with the production department and say, instead of making this garment 51% poly and 49 cotton, reverse it. So it's
right.
51 cotton and 49 poly, and your duty rate goes from 32 down to 16. That's
so
one way companies can save on duty.
That's great. Why did
Well,
Trump
the other way companies Well, what Trump did, and the other way companies can save on duty rates and importation of finished goods is, for instance, I'll use, this is the best example ever, when President Trump, says NAFTA, the worst agreement ever, it's like 5,000 pages, it doesn't make any sense, the calculations are out of control, what happened was it made it possible for people to take parts from other countries, send them to Mexico and be assembled. And based on whether it was a washer or a dryer or a car, or in our case with Chico's, what they did was they imported raw materials. Everything would come through as long as you could prove origin and qualify under the terms of NAFTA. You could produce products down in Mexico with very inexpensive labor, ship it up to the United States, and it, as long as you qualified for NAFTA, it comes in duty free. Well, what did everybody do? They ran like crazy. They put offices in McMillan, Texas, to handle the imports and the exports to the manufacturers in Mexico. And they all ran and built plants. Why? Because of the margins. It's all about money.
Right.
And it would increase.
Now, you're an entrepreneur. I mean, you know, you do a charity, that's one thing, but you're in business to make money. That just makes sense. Those are the laws, and people were not breaking laws, right?
Right. And there still is a plethora of other agreements. But staying with NAFTA, just the other day, President Trump finally, after my absolute favorite, Pelosi and her Democratic members of House sat on the new agreement, and go catch me if I – it's – well, anyway, there's a new agreement, and I don't have the name in front of me. It's
– Did you have a Joe moment? You had a sleepy, dreamy, slow-mo basement Joe moment, didn't you?
I had a hide and Biden in the basement moment.
Well,
basically, what I'll come back to that. I'll Google it.
But anyway,
Don
I mean,
Jr. talked
is,
to Don. Go on.
And I was going to say, the bottom line is what I'm hearing from you is that there were ways to like milk the system to be profitable that really wasn't the best for the American people. And ultimately, the bottom line, it was costing we the people more because of some convenient little deals. So this new trade agreement, how is it helping we the people, the American citizens who, you know, work hard, pay our taxes, and just want a fair shake and not some fancy corporatocracy.
The thing is most of these things are legal, and that's why I said you work with trade attorneys, and they can help you save a lot of money. But I always recommend that people work directly with U.S. Customs. If you're bringing in a new product, go get a binding agreement. It costs nothing for you. And you know what your tariff rates are going to be, and you can create your landed cost. So anyway, the new agreement created 5 days ago. It doesn't look right. So we'll move on. Canada, United States, Mexico agreement, calling it CUSMA, and I don't think that sounds right, but
the dude from Canada is not showing up. The president of Mexico is showing up, and the cutie from Canada can't show up for the meeting. I think there's some big meeting at the White House. So at the end of the day, America's going to be doing better, and we're making America great again. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, what's happening is with the new agreement, Mexico has agreed. They're the big one. Canada, you know, you're talking about lumber, and they really don't export a lot here to the States.
Yeah, but you know, Ford used to build
other than
the Windsor
lumber and
engine
and
you
know,
Windsor,
and
Canada.
And,
the Windsor engine?
Well,
Windsor
but this is – well, you're still going to have higher employee hourly wage. But with the new agreement, what it does is it makes it USMCA. Thank you. USMCA is what it's called.
Yeah, okay.
And the reason why this is so important is that it provides a lot of initiatives and help for the U.S. farmers. That's what he's done with China. You know, he told China, you know, China has been ripping us off. It all has to do with currency.
I'm not the expert.
There's so many experts out there.
You're very knowledgeable, but let me just say something. You're talking about China. when Trump was just the real estate mogul, even before he had any inkling, maybe this was right around the time he had that interview with Oprah back in the 80s, maybe early 90s, about being president and him snickering about it. He's always been very consistent in his messaging, is that China is ripping us off like crazy. It is very unfair for some of the trade that is had between the United States and China. So he's very consistent with that messaging, which is really awesome. I mean, that's somebody that's not a politician. You know what I'm saying? He's somebody that just was a, I mean, he was a New York real estate dude. But anyway, you know what? This is the great awakening of the silent majority, and you're listening to Two Gals with Two Names on Tuesday. I'm Carol Parisi, Carol Ann, and this show is called Carol Ann. We got Mary Lynn, and Mary Lynn, I love it. I love the Democrats. That is such a cute thing. You know, can I talk about something, or do you want to do your insight of the day, or do you want to do the biggest issue? What do you want to talk about? And you were talking before the show today, you were talking about some, you know, different things with the some of the things that have passed of the voting and the Electoral College. What do you want to hit on?
Let's just bust through the mail-in ballots quickly and popular vote. I think what's most a huge win in the Supreme Court yesterday, if you're a believer in the Constitution, this decision was about the Electoral College. It was a unanimous affirmative decision by Judge Kagan, said today we consider whether a state may also penalize an elector for breaking his pledge and voting for someone other than the presidential candidate who won his state's popular vote. The Constitution's text and the nation's history both support allowing a state to enforce an elector's pledge to support his party's nominee and the state voter's choice for president. So why don't you explain what that means to you, Caroline?
Well, here's the thing. The Electoral College, it's a body of electors, and it was established by the Constitution, which forms every 4 years for the sole purpose of electing the president and vice president of the United States. And it consists of 538 electors, and in an absolute majority, at least 270 of electoral votes is required to win the election. So according to Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the Constitution, each state legislator determines the manner by which its state's electors are chosen. So the number of each state's electors is equal to the sum of the state's membership in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. Currently, there are 100 senators and 435 representatives. Additionally, the 23rd Amendment, ratified in 1961, provides the District of Columbia as entitled to the same number of electors as the least populated states in U.S. territories that are not entitled to any electors. So what it means is, and let's say you're in the state of Utah, and this is not fact, this is just an example. And in Utah, there are, there's 72 million, this is so not right, so please, these are not right numbers, this is just for an example. There are 72 million.
Okay, hiding Biden in the basement. Did 120 million people die of COVID?
Right. Died of COVID, right. Well, there's no way there's 72 million people in Utah, because I think there's only 350 million in the U.S., so that's why I'm like, okay. Let's say there's 100,000 votes, okay? But let's say those 100,000 votes come in, but they have there's two senators, because each state has two senators. There's two for each, one for each of the senators, and then however many House reps. So let's say the state of Utah has 20 electoral votes. Well, if the popular vote was that 100,000, and let's say you know, candidate A had, you know, 80,000 and candidate B, those electors, if they liked candidate B better, they could cast their votes for candidate B and not take on the elector. Is that what I'm hearing, what the how the Electoral College works? They are bound
no,
to
in
what
this
they
case,
have to do.
In the case that you just stated, if out of that 100,000, 80,000 went to candidate A and 20,000 went to candidate B, the elector is required
to go to candidate A.
To vote the popular candidate A or face
right.
being penalized for breaking his pledge and voting for someone other than the presidential candidate who won the state's popular vote. So all it's
right.
trying to do is keep a good, clean, and fair election. And I think that's what most of us want. We don't want so-called China interference, Russian interference. And as I told you earlier, I just signed up today to be an election poll worker.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, you know, you had to agree to be there for 15 hours on election day. And you know what? As a proud American, I'm glad to be there. Here in the
now,
state of Florida.
It pays too, doesn't it? Doesn't that pay?
Oh, yeah,
doesn't
it pays. And then if you want to drive over 20 miles, they give you a little bonus mileage. But it's, you know, it's the excitement of the whole thing, right? And it's going to be exciting. And everybody knows. Don't listen to the polls. Don't listen to MSM, mainstream media. It's all, and I watched, you know, we're not going to be shy about the fact that here on Two Girls with Two Names on Tuesday, we are all about our God the Father. And
amen, sister.
I was watching
we're not going to be afraid to say, we love God, we love Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's with us. So. That is full show. That's full show.
So I was, I have a lot of Joel Osteen recording, so I just went through my whole list because I got a little behind. And so I said, God, pick the one that I need to hear today. And it was all, the message was all about listening to your own voice and not someone else's voice. And the more you think about the negative, the more the negative, as we know, comes and it is attracted into your life.
Thoughts
you think
things,
about
we
being
become
poor.
What we
you
think
about being racially discriminated.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was Sean Hannity. I was going Sean Hannity on you.
That's okay. No, you know what? You're exactly right. Thoughts are things, and we become what we think about most of the time. And here's the thing. If we constantly project a victim mentality, we're going to be victims. I'm just going to share something with you.
Right.
In Barrington Hills, Illinois, there's a man, and I forgot the name of the project, but he's trying to get 25 underprivileged boys from the city, from the hood, to come into Barrington to live in a 12,000-square-foot home on 28 acres. And I have the address. I won't disclose the address. It's a pretty cool house. It's got a swimming pool. It's got a basketball court on the inside. And it's a very – Barrington Hills is a very upscale neighborhood. So, I mean, it's very nice. So there – but there are rules, okay? Barrington Hills doesn't even really allow renters. Okay, that's part of their statutes, their village bylaws. Okay, so there are laws that have been put into place by the people that live there, the tax-paying citizens, and that's how they want to run. I mean, we have the 10th Amendment. We have state rights, and then each individual municipality, providing it's within the law. So this gentleman by the name of Wallace, Terrence Wallace, wants to bring these kids in, and he supposedly asked, you know, he brought this up a couple years ago, and he's really never followed through. So it's interesting now, all of a sudden, he pushed to have this meeting, this Zoom meeting, of course, with Barrington Hills, and they said, well, we'll have to get back to you because we have to see what's in our bylaws and our statutes. It doesn't look like this is congruent. We can't do this with what we have. Guess what the first thing he came out of his mouth?
I'm going to go with the R word.
Yes, systematic racism. Yes, ma'am. Now, excuse me.
Carolyn, do you honestly think? Go on.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
I was just going to say, do you think that people actually even know what systematic racism means?
You know what? No, because we're not a racist people. But you know what this man is doing? Is we were talking about thoughts being things and what we think about, we become most of the time. If you're trying to change the culture of these young men, which believe that every white person is racist, okay, first of all, because that's what they've heard, and you're trying to get them out of the hood, but you keep the hood in their head, you're not really serving these kids and changing them in the most empowering way. And I find that to be disparaging because, quite frankly, Mayor, I would love to have my husband go, like, maybe coach them in football. And you know, maybe I could, you know, start doing some business coaching because, you know, that's my passion, is to help people think, be, and do better, because we become what we think about most of the time. We could be, do, have whatever our heart desires. Thoughts are things, and we got to keep those thoughts on a strict course. So this man is giving these kids the same narrative, the same talking point that white man is racist, rich white men are racist, and you're going to be a victim. So he's not really helping. So I'm thinking of actually showing up to the next meeting and giving a rant such as that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, I live in the town of Cape Coral, and our code department, put it this way, I got a notice from the code department because my garbage cans were in front of my house. So we have some pretty strict rules. Your boat has got to be parked behind your house. It can't be to the side of your house. Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm totally here. I mean, you need a damn permit to build
something.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we tried to put up a little 6-foot privacy fence, and we had to go get a permit, and then we bought the wrong kind of logs at Lowe's, and so we had to tear it down. Anyway, you know, it's what happens, and I think in the situation
Wait a minute, why didn't you just scream to them that they were sexist? Because, hey, I mean, if it works, I mean, hey. I mean, no, you weren't following the rules. Was it because the Cape Coral is sexist, or you just weren't following the rules that were there, so everybody...
Well, I used garden lumber instead of fence lumber, but that's how strict the code compliance is here. Now, I'm okay with that because, you know, otherwise, you know, there's other towns around in Lee County, and now I'm waiting for them to change Lee County, so... That's the name of the county I live in, Lee County.
Okay.
And hello, you know, it gets bad because there are certain areas where people will leave trash cars out and things like that. So you do want, you know, you pay for a nice house. You go to a nice neighborhood. And you know, I'm sorry, Joe Biden, and the rest of the Democratic Party, you're not going to abolish the suburbs because there's a reason. Some people like to live in the city. I like to live in the suburbs. So guess what? My problem, I think, with Mr. Wallace, good intentions are just that. Unfortunately, I think having 25 people, no matter what the square footage.
Come on now.
It's not... It's 25 people. But what that makes that is a place like an institution, a rehab center. It makes it more of a public situation than a domestic situation.
Right.
So what you're doing is I got a halfway house 2 blocks away from me. Do I care? Uh-huh. No, they're nice people. They're trying. Yeah, we've had a couple of incidences.
Of course.
But for the most part, they're trying to change their life.
Right.
But it's different. It's no more than like 5 people. It's only men. And there's one of the guys who owns it and runs it. he lives on site all the time. So
right.
I think that you have to look at each situation separately, but also ask, is this the right situation? I told
right.
you the story. When I moved into the area, the school district line was across my driveway, and my parents moved to Inverness, and
uh-huh.
I either could go to Friend High School or Barrington High School.
Uh-huh.
And Barrington
uh-huh.
High School was very well known for having a lot of wealthy, spoiled young adults. Kind of had the same thing in Inverness, too, because I remember riding on the bus and drive past Susie's house, and then we see her standing out in front of her big parents' mansion with a big bow on her new Jaguar. So there you go. You have that kind of thing, but can you
sure.
really take kids from the inner city and just dump them into a whole new world?
Well, I just
don't know. I mean, is it who does it benefit?
First of all, the bigger question is, why would they even be sending them to public schools? Why, if you really want to serve kids, why wouldn't you send them to private schools where they could actually, I mean, Barrington schools are very good, but these are teenagers that have not gone through the Barrington system. Do you know what I'm saying? And now they're bringing these teenagers. I mean, that's got to be hard as a teenager. I didn't move out of my house when my son was a teenager because you get established. So, you know, yes, I'm sure there's a lot of good intention, but the funny thing is, you know, this has been going on, I guess, for a couple of years, and all of a sudden he's bringing it forward during all of this. I'm sorry, I hate to say it, but the narrative of racism is profoundly stunning to me. Instead of saying, you got 25 people, you got a well and a septic, how is that going to be handled? I don't care how many anchors you have. You only have, you know, are you going to be building another well? Is it zoned to be building another well? How's the septic, right? I mean, think about that.
Right. Well,
I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. That is the difference between having a public establishment when you
right.
have a quantity of 25 people.
Right.
That is similar to a rehab or a daycare
right.
or a Betty Ford or, you know, one of the many different places. But they all
right.
have to be, just like this halfway house, they have to be registered with the state, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think that what we forget is that President Trump has been fighting for this for years. Our governor, Ron DeSantis, just put school choice through.
Well,
all right?
President
Trump has been pushing school choice for years.
Yes,
and guess who's
Mary?
Stopping them?
Yes, the teachers' unions who give a ton of money to Democrats. When I worked with Jack, my head exploded. You want to talk about getting my eyes right open and awakening, this great awakening, and awakening my, I never realized how powerful the IEA is and the NEA, the National Education Association. Your teachers' unions give a boatload of money to Democratic candidates. It's an incestuous, symbiotic relationship, and it is prohibitive to people getting a good education in the city. If they really wanted to help poor black kids, school choice, man, school choice, because you can get those kids into charter schools and private schools, and the money should follow the kids. I don't care where you live. You should be able to have your tax, 78% of our tax dollars here go to the very powerful teachers union, and they're vicious here in Illinois. No one says the teachers are bad, but I want to understand something. In Palatine schools, which was your alma mater friend as well, District 211 and District 15, you know what? The administrator, his retirement is like $400,000 a year, and he gets a guaranteed 3% cost of living increase at 55 years old. Do you know how much cash resources you would have to earn? And they spike their pensions towards the end. You have all these people retiring at 55 and making these exorbitant pensions on the taxpayer dollars. And they're guaranteed 3% no matter what happens, COVID or no COVID, working or no working. And they work, what, 8 months out of the year, 9 months out of the year? So, friends, go check out your teachers' union. Make them accountable to your taxpayer dollars. I mean, you know, that's
well, and
that's
then what's
huge.
Really, well, what's what, and the unfortunate part of it is, here again, this is the Democrats' modus operandi.
Yes.
Only the favored few get the big dollars, but what about
yep.
the teachers? I'm
yep.
standing in line, and this woman's got all these coloring books and crayons and
right.
such and such. She goes, yeah, I'm a teacher. I have to buy my own supplies for my kids. You know,
supplies.
They're just like
yes.
police.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're just
mm-hmm.
like police officers. These people make dirt for money, like 35,
right.
40K to start. I mean,
right.
I made that when I was in my low 20s. You know, we won't talk about where we are now in the age group, but as a baby boomer.
High 20s. We're 29 forever, sister. That's how it rolls around here. But anyway, girly girl, you're exactly correct. You're exactly correct in what you say. And, friends, you are listening to this great edition, this first edition, this primary edition of Two Gals with Two Names on Tuesday. I'm Carol Ann. Mary Lynn is my one of my BFFs. Known Mary since I don't know. We were like babies in the crib when Ronald Reagan was president.
Yeah, I'm going mid 80s. Yeah, so yeah, let's reminisce. But it.
Yeah.
Mary Lynn Bianchi here, and I just want to say what's going to be really most important and what we want to focus on every Tuesday from now until November 3rd, my father's birthday, God rest his soul. We're going to focus on the importance of a fair and honest, good election. This
yep.
mail-in ballot idea. The numbers are confounding. Let's just give an example. With the stimulus checks, they came out and
uh-huh.
said some 12 million dead people got
$1,200
checks. Not 1,200, 1.2 million, excuse me. And these are all dead people on the IRS rolls. So, you know, what I love, there's a group, and if you're not into them, get into them. It's Judicial Watch, and
yeah,
it's run by Tom Fitton. These guys
yeah.
are doing the heavy lifting in Washington, D.C., that we're not getting out of our government employees. What's up, DOJ? What is your legal strategy? What are you going to do? Judicial Watch has sued several states, California being one of them, for they know there's millions and millions of names of people that are on the voter rolls that need to be removed. So
well,
they're going to mail out ballots.
We had a project like that, and it's an organization that actually the Obama administration put the IRS on. You know, remember when Obama was using the IRS against, like, the conservative grassroots Tea Party groups? Well, there was a
– Correct.
There was a – the vote, True the Vote, out of Texas, and I forgot her name. And if I could get her information, I will, because I had meetings with her when I was on air with Jack. And they were trying to get the voter rolls cleaned up. But I got to tell you something, in Cook County – that is such a joke, and that is such a joke. And you want to talk about, you know, like you're saying, the ballots, the mail-in ballots. You know, Al Franken, he stole that election because after that election, in the back of trunks, there were ballots. There were ballots, but I think the guy's name was Norm Coleman. He didn't want to challenge it because that's – First of all, it's very expensive to do recounts, Al Gore, just saying. So you have all that stuff, and you get, I mean, the chain of custody of those ballots is priceless. So, no, I mean, come on, we're in Chicago. I wonder how many voting booths are in the lake, Michigan, you know? You know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well, and then the other great part, a well-known fact, that we have in the United States voting machines that were sold to us by George Soros. Doesn't that give you the warm fuzzies?
Well, now maybe some of our listeners don't know who George Soros is. He is a
He's the billionaire devil.
Didn't he short the British pound or the sterling? Isn't that how he made his money? But he had some insider information. Oh yeah, there's something real shady about Soros. But Soros has a son. Even though Soros is in his 80s, he has a son who's even more of a turd than he is, I guess. So Lux is very committed. Hey, Mary, what was the name of the movie we just watched from Curtis Bowers? Agenda?
Wasn't it called The Agenda? And it was called Deceit.
Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, and Curtis Bowers was a representative, and I actually, you can go to awakenamerica.us, and there are some videos there, because I did actually interview him, but you want to talk about what's really going on in America, that's the truth. It's the truth. These people want power, they want to control, and there, I hate to say it, it's the demon rats and the Republicans, too. It's the Republicans, too.
Trumpers.
Some of them are good. Pardon me?
We never generalize.
Nope. Absolutely. There's people that just want power for the sake of power. Our founders were public servants. They had their businesses and their farms, and the only thing they wanted to do was go serve and then go home. We need term limits, man. It's so time for
term
limits.
Amen.
Amen. That would be a solution.
Well, I mean, let's look at how ridiculous. When you add up the numbers, and I apologize, I don't have the exact numbers. Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Schiff. I mean, you add those, you're in the hundreds.
I think Biden alone is almost 50 years being in office.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
It's like a freaking
But now, please understand, as of 4th of July, he's going to transform, he being hiding in the Biden basement, is going to transform America. I guess. Yeah. After 50 years, it's time to actually do something for all the money that you've made.
Cute little hunter. All those side deals. Come on.
Yeah, well, little hunter still owns 10% of a bank in China. So there we go. You know, I just kind of want to get back out of our bunny hole to just talk to people here and just let you know it's your country. This is America.
Right.
We fought the Cold War before, and we won. Now we're going to win this one, too. But you've got to contact your county election supervisors. As I said earlier, I signed up to be a poll worker. Attend town council meetings. Ask them what they're going to do to protect the vote. Contact your senators and congressmen. What are they going to do? What are they going to do in Washington? And then voter ID. Bottom line, if it's not enforced.
Mary Lynn, voter ID is racist. Just saying.
I'm sorry. I don't believe that if you're not a citizen of this country, you do not have the right to vote. I don't know. Was that in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights?
I'm not sure. But I will tell you there are cities in California that it's like, oh, yes, you can vote in local elections. This is how the left operates, though, is they go ahead and they like try to, you know, push the envelope, and they keep pushing, and then, you know, there's the compromise, and then they keep pushing again from that place of compromise. We can't compromise with these people because we've compromised ourselves right out of liberty with these leftist progressives, because they're not liberals. They're not liberals. If they were liberals, they would get it, because the very essence of liberalism is liberty. I refuse to call them liberal.
Okay. But just to enforce what you just said, these states, like the mayor in Seattle, she allowed this BS to happen. She's accountable. Now, what I truly believe in with voter ID, it is all you're doing is proving that you're a citizen of the United States. And if not enforced, the federal government should not provide federal funding.
Absolutely.
And Carolyn, did you know that there
is a solution? That's a solution. Okay. You don't want to – there should be a federal law that there has to be voter ID. Now, how come you pay with a check, you have to show an ID? How come when you get on an airplane, you have to show an ID? How come when you buy sinus medicine, you have to show an ID? When you buy alcohol,
yeah, or to pick up a prescription, to pick up just a regular prescription. Yeah,
right.
People ask me all the time, and there's a reason for it. And Carol Ann, do you know that there's at least 17 states that do not require voter ID?
I bet Illinois.
According to our friends at Judicial Watch, Illinois is one of them. And I think you were surprised when I told you that. But also, Minnesota is also another one of those. And right now, the governor has his hands out to President Trump, looking for federal funds to clean up their protest mess, like Seattle, that they let happen. And I say the answer is no. And guess the other great news that came out today is that the United States has officially pulled out of the WHO, period.
Really?
That would be the World Health Organization.
Oh, that's good.
So
news.
Those who say it can't be done, get out of the way that those who are doing it. Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's really important that, and I have, you know, I'm a big Twitter person, ML Bianchi 7, either Twitter or Parler. I'm more on Twitter. And, you know, I have conversations with some great patriots, you know, and we're not racist people. Far from it. We believe in America and what America provides, and that's your freedom and your liberty. What you bring to the table is what you get at the table. And you know what you're also promised is justice for all. And when President Trump says law and order, it's not a racist statement. He is so far from a racist.
Of course, and a sexist. He's not a sexist either. You know what, Mary? I mean, that's the thing. It's the narrative. The narrative that they want to make people think, oh, you're racist, you're sexist, you're homophobe, and Islamophobe. I mean, the quote-unquote Hillary Clinton basket of deplorables. No, you know what we are? We are a colorblind meritocracy where it doesn't matter, because we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, it doesn't say all white men, all Asian men, all men, and that's mankind, are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights amongst these life, liberty, and the pursuit, doesn't say promise, the pursuit of happiness. So, I mean, and you know what's funny, Mayor? Our founders and that Declaration of Independence, where they hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by a creator. When you hear a lot of people saying that our founders, oh, no, they didn't believe in God and blah, blah, blah. They didn't believe in the crown. They believed in a higher power. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you study John Jay, who was one of the first Supreme Court justices, it was amazing some of the things he wrote about God and how to be happy. Even John Madison who's the first one? Because there was a father and a son. Was it James and John Madison? Tell me. John Adams.
Oh yeah, and you know John Adams is one of the proposed new statues for the new National Garden that President Trump wants to create.
That's crazy.
I'm also a real big fan of Hiawatha. You know, because without Hiawatha, you know, the two guys, you know, they're trudging through the United States, tall, you know, and then what were the Lewis and Clark, and then they're lost.
Okay.
And they're not asking directions, and all of a sudden Hiawatha comes up and, hey, dudes, I'll show you the way. So you know, men haven't been asking directions for a very long time. So I'm all about Hiawatha. She helped Lewis and Clark discover an awful lot of this country. And, you know, every day I say to myself, why aren't people more grateful? Just be grateful for this great country.
Yeah, how about it?
You know what I'd like to do for some of these naysayers who think this is such a horrible place to live? Take them up, pick them up, and for 3 months, whatever, throw them in a really hardship place. Lack of water, lack of food, lack of cleanliness, lack of medication, lack of anything, primarily your freedoms. And then you don't know when, like, these scary guys with machine guns are going to come shoot up your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
It kind of sounds like Chicago.
Yeah,
so,
oh, God.
You know, I think that's a whole other story on its own, but I just want to say I'd like to take these people.
17 people over the 4th of July were killed in Chicago. I guess like 90-something or 80-something were injured, but 17 people lost their lives, and more children. 7-year-old girl in her grandma's backyard got shot. Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
Yeah, I know. It's very sad, and we could seriously go on for another hour just on that alone. But what I'd really like to do is take these ingrates, throw them in a place that's very destitute, and then take somebody from that destitute area and bring them here, trade places with them, and they'll be crying, going, please let me come back.
Yep.
That's what gratitude is. And every morning I wake up and I go, thank you, God. I am so grateful. And I'm so grateful for President Trump. I'm grateful to live in the United States of America. I'm grateful that we can have a conversation like this and not be hauled away. This isn't communist China.
Yep.
It isn't communist Russia. We are not turning Marxism. We're not turning commie. The Democrats are playing a game with America, the American economy, and American families' lives. I don't know who they think they're kidding, but it's unfortunate that instead, can you imagine how great of a country we could be if the two parties actually tried to work together?
Well, look at Newt Gingrich. Look at when Bill Clinton was president and Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House. This country was doing fabulously, too, economically. This is a great country because of the people. And this country is a beautiful melting pot. It's a beautiful melting pot of different races, nationalities. And that's what makes our country so great is our diversity, because there is power in our diversity. And we know this. We know this to be true. You know what I'm saying? But we have a great work ethic about us. That's why somebody that's a female, a black female, or whatever female, or any gender, any race, any any religion, any proclivity. If you work hard and you do the right thing, and yes, you do need a little bit of luck, just because you start a business doesn't always mean you're going to be successful. But you know something? You keep working, you can achieve a certain level of the American dream. And I think the American dream has been lost and has been stolen from us because of some of this agenda. You know what I'm saying? We're starting to, like you said, we're teaching false history. Some of these history books aren't even truthful. You know, it's a revisionist history. There's a gentleman by the name of David Barton, and he's got great stuff up on YouTube and stuff. And he's a Bible believing Christian, but he talks a lot about America's Christian founding. And, I mean, Ronald Reagan said it best, if we ever forget we're one nation gone under God, we're going to be one nation gone under, you know. So, I mean, we do have a very, very solid foundation in this country. And it's not, I've never looked at America being racist or sexist. Have you? I mean, you're a woman. You were in the business world. I mean, you know. But anyway. Anyway, we've been
to start to wind down here, I just want to say on Friday night I was so blown away with the whole event. But what I thought was so awesome about the whole event is Governor Kristi Noem spoke to President Trump prior to her election and said, "We're going to have this event once I'm elected governor." Now, wasn't she awesome? I'll tell you what, great candidate for 2024. I'll tell you, she blew up the internet. And I'll tell you what, she's got some cut arms, girlfriend.
she's pretty too.
But just like what she said.
Mm-mm.
In America, you can have the American dream. Look, I'm the first female governor of the state of South Dakota. And guess what? She goes, "I was just a simple farm girl."
Wow.
And I think that just like what the insight of the day is, push yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. You have to remember that. It's how you put one foot in front of the other, spend your day. You know what I don't like about wearing masks? Because I like when I walk around the grocery store, I like to smile at people, say hello.
But down here
in Florida, as long as I'm not dealing with a lot of snowbirds, people are very, very friendly. And, you know, so I'm walking around with this mask on, and this lady, you know, and I kind of wave at each other. I said, "You can't tell, but under my mask, I am smiling at you." So it's just unfortunate that this is where we've come. But it also is something that I'm not going to put up a big fit about it. They didn't vote it in here in Cape Coral, as I said earlier. But I think out of respect and out of the fact that I really don't like the dirty looks I get when I'm not wearing a mask. But I'll do it. It doesn't bother me. You know, as we talked about, Carol, and I expose my nose because I can't breathe. We both have breathing issues. I have allergies and sinus, and you've got asthma.
Yeah.
So it's not always easy. And then on YouTube, they've got, I don't know what it's under or who did it, but they've got CO2 meters, taking CO2 readings underneath a person's mask. And the reintake of CO2 is off the charts. And to further that same end, people are coming into emergency rooms with fungal lung infections. So,
it causes panic attacks. It causes higher heart rates. And of course, it's gonna exacerbate lung infections because you're supposed to breathe oxygen, not carbon dioxide. Correct? It's carbon dioxide because it's O2.
That's why it's so critical to have plants and trees and greenery so we get the nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, God
mm-hmm.
had it all figured out. You know, he laid this thing out. He's pretty efficient. Got it done in 7 days. God bless. You're an efficient worker, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's important is is finding balance within all this.
That's
you know,
huge.
If you're not wearing a quality face mask, fine. You know, but if the face mask works so great, number one, why are you letting prisoners out of jail? Just put a damn white mask on them. Why can't kids go back to school? I'm fine not dealing with the buses. To be very honest with you, I can live without the buses, but the kids need to get back to school, period.
Right.
You know, we
right.
can't run in fear. What, are we going to stay locked up for life?
Well, maybe out in California with Governor. Yeah, Newsom. The left chooses lockdowns over liberty. And let's face it, when you could control through fear. It's definitely a tactic of manipulation. But when you know who you are and you know where you come from, that's why, you know, you could go to awakenamerica.us and you can download your copy of the Constitution. And it'd be great to, like, do some researches. I mean, I've got the Constitution right here. And the Bill of Rights, and I mean, at Eyes Wide Open Radio, and you can get podcasts at AM 560 The Answer. It's Eyes Wide Open. That's where I'm on the radio here every Saturday from 5 to 7 on AM 560. We've gone through the whole Bill of Rights. We've gone through who we are as Americans. What do we do? Solutions to take our country back. And like Mary was saying, you've got to get engaged. You've got to get engaged at the grassroots level. Grassroots, but you need to know what your founding is. You need to know who you are. You need to know who your enemy is. So that way you can know where you're going. And we would love to hear from you here at Awaken to Empowerment, the Two Gals with Two Names show on Tuesdays. We'll be here every Tuesday. We'll be here every Tuesday, and we're going to talk about liberty, freedom, personal power. You know, and you know what, Mayor? You know, there's health tips. Like, we're talking about these masks and how they're not the healthiest thing. I did just buy something that's the copper. I'm hoping that might be a little better because of the copper. I've heard stuff with the silver in the fibers of the mask because, you know, silver is an antibacterial. I've been taking colloidal silver. I got a bee sting. I put a colloidal silver gel on it. It immediately took away the swelling, took away the pain within 15 minutes. It was like healed. It was the coolest thing. So,
I just wanted to interject. Carol Ann is not saying that colloidal silver will cure COVID-19. I think there was a preacher who got
poor
in trouble.
Jim Baker did not do that. I watched that show. In fact, I used the product. But you know what it is? Jim Baker's a really big Trump supporter, and he's got a following. And he was easy picking because, you know, with Tammy Faye with her makeup all over her face back in the 80s, and he's really trying to, you know, he loves America. The man had a stroke. He had a stroke, and it affected the part of his brain that affects his speech. So keep him in your prayers. You know, I've got
most
this great Bible. It's the American Patriots Bible. We're going to unpack some of that. We're going to really, here at Two Gals with Two Names on Tuesdays, we're going to really come up with some actionable solutions for y'all to help get a semblance of order of where this country is in these tumultuous times. And you know what? Do we need to transform America, or do we need to transform our mindsets on who we are and how great we are and how blessed we are to be in this fabulous country? Because most of us are children of immigrants. You are second generation? Your grandparents were born across the pond?
Exactly. Yes, my mother's parents came from Austria, and my father's parents came from Croatia, but they all met in a big old melting pot called Chicago.
Chicago,
so,
where
there
the
you go.
Italians and the Irish and the Germans and yeah,
Chicago,
the Polish,
right?
And the Italians were picked on. The Italians were picked on very heavily. I mean, who cares? Everybody gets picked on.
Well, but that's Well, that's what happened with my grandparents. They changed their name, which is a good thing, because my maiden name would have been Sabichovich. I don't think I would have lived through grammar school with a name like that. So, yeah, they changed. So they changed it to Civic, and then they also. They also, you know, it was a Croatian house based out of Yugoslavia, and they also it was no speaking Croatian, none of that. It was it was English only, that you just weren't allowed.
You weren't allowed. You know why? You especially in public, okay? My mother and grandmother in the house, so they spoke of the Italian. I knew every freaking curse word. You know, hey, you know, I still know them. But they didn't. I go, Mom, why don't you teach us Italian? I want to know Italian. Because we're in America. We speak English. And then my mom would say, and we don't talk Italian. They never talked Italian when we would be out shopping. They would talk English. And I'm like, why don't you talk Italian when you're in the store? Because it's rude to speak a language in front of other people that don't know the language and they think you're talking about them. That's something.
And it's also assimilation. And you know, and I recommend that, you know, if I went to a foreign country, for instance, I don't really know where I'd go because I wouldn't really would never want to leave America. But
nobody's,
you know, when you're on
right
top
now.
Like
nobody's
the
taking Americans right now, everybody's closed off.
Oh hell. American. Yeah, and I got a tweet from Granny Killer Cuomo today that me and 17 other states we're not allowed to. Well, we can go to New York, but we have to quarantine for 14 days.
So I have to send my apologies.
Yeah, I have to send my apologies, Granny Killer Cuomo. So sorry. I wouldn't visit your hellhole for love nor money. I really wouldn't want to be be out there for target practice between Cuomo. I feel bad for New Yorkers. I never thought I'd say the day that I would say that, but I feel bad for New Yorkers. The citizens of New York have been depraved. They have been de Blasio and Cuomo have destroyed. Oh, let's not forget AOC. They have destroyed.
Oh, that's a piece of work. She's
New York City.
Though. I'm going to say something. AOC
Pelosi Jr.
is very dangerous because she's very attractive. She's very passionate, and let's face it, she's a product of the public school system. So she knows how to influence those young kids. Do you know what I'm saying? She knows her, and she's real good with the social media. I just hope somebody beats her in November, and I don't mean physically. I'm not inciting violence. I'm talking
it's in the election.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well.
Absolutely.
Well, I know. Just let them.
Anything.
Yeah, it's so great. On Twitter, they've got a picture of her kneeling, blowing without a mask on, blowing bubbles. You know the stuff you put the little bubble thing in the little plastic container and you blow bubbles. So she's blowing bubbles at a little kid. COVID-19.
Yeah,
you're blowing your spit into bubbles at a little girl. Anyway, it was very humorous because that's what we have to take out of things today. We have to find the humor in it because
so
if you believe
just coming
these
out of her airhead, because she's not the most intelligent thing. She just has a ton
of
passion.
She's
well spoken.
She's not getting elected. Not getting elected at Mensa anytime soon.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to think for yourself. You can't drink the Kool-Aid. You end up with Stockholm Syndrome, and then you start believing the BS that comes out of MSM. And the problem is they don't care that they're lying anymore. There's literally video proof.
They're part of the agenda. There is an agenda. The mainstream media is owned by big-ass corporations. And I'm sorry, but we are not a corporatocracy. When we talk about business, for the most part, and entrepreneurship, we're about small mom-and-pop businesses. Some of those big, mega, major corporations, back in the 50s, before, you know, I don't know, I'm not a real big fan of too much power and too much centralized power, like big government. Big corporations, I don't think are great for us either.
Well, right now, you look at the tech monopolies, the Googles, Microsofts, Facebook, Twitter. You know, the folks at Twitter, everybody shifted to Parler. Dan Bongino started the movement to Parler. And this is because Twitter, twice in 1 week, took down tweets from President Trump. And
they were very specific. And disenfranchising. Hold on a second. His First Amendment rights, huh?
Exactly.
Why did they do that? Did he threaten someone?
It was simple. He was doing his job, and he basically said to the violent protesters and the
anarchists,
the mob, the Marxist socialist, what's happening is the mob, long and large, and they're getting bigger. He just came out and said, "You will not tear down our statues." Mm-hmm. You know, and that's when he created the executive order to mandate a 10-year sentence. So basically, said, "You're not going to come here and tear down our statues and our history."
Mm-hmm.
They came out and said that he was threatening. That was one. So everybody
that was threatening hate speech, according to the. The left, huh?
Right. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, all you have to, I never go to the leftist Marxist commie side, because if I read it, I get worked up. And the idea is, I believe in America. I believe in President Trump, and that's all I have to believe. I have to believe in God, and today I have to believe that it's going to be a good day. And we need to focus on making sure, number one priority for all of us is to do our part to make sure that this is a fair election and that the Democrats don't steal it. Because if everybody hasn't figured it out yet, Mr. Joe hiding in the Biden basement is going to be a puppet, and those long strings are going to be pulled by Obama, Gates, and Soros. And I don't know if they probably won't let Hillary back in the cabal. But remember, folks, remember in November, vote red across the board. So thanks so much for everybody for tuning into blogtalkradio.com/Carol Ann Parisi. As Carol Ann stated, we're going to be here every week on Tuesday. Two gals with two names on Tuesday through November 3rd. We're going to focus on our primary focus is a fair and safe election. You can reach us at the number 2 gals with the number 2 names at gmail.com. You can also reach me at Parler or Twitter at ML Bianchi, BIANCHI, the number 7. Carol Ann, can they reach you in Twitter or Facebook?
They can go right on to awakenamerica.us and friend me and love to hear from you. You go there, you get a copy of the Constitution, your Bill of Rights. You can watch all of our videos. You can see Curtis Bauer videos. I've also interviewed people like Trevor Loudon and just some really cool stuff on there. And, you know, Mayor, we've got probably, I think it's 117 days to an election. Something like that, 116, 117-ish. And you know what? Here's something. It's the definition of personal liberty, and it's the freedom of the individual to do as he pleases, limited only by the authority of politically organized society to regulate his action to secure the public health, safety, or morals, or of other recognized social interests. So our personal liberties, we have a right to that, and it's personal freedom. So no government can abridge it, and it's juxtaposed with other human rights, and it actually, it formally can be traced back to the English Magna Carta. So we're long on liberty here and freedom, and with personal liberty comes personal responsibility. So friends, we do want to thank you for joining us here, the two gals with two names on Tuesdays. We'll be here every week. We love you. We love America. We love God. And, Mayor, do we want to just say a prayer before we close today?
But, of course, we always end with a prayer every time we talk. And I'm just going to start out real quick. May God put a white light of love around our wonderful, amazing President Donald J. Trump and his family. Also protect this country and its citizens for our freedom and liberty. We the people.
Amen. Amen.
Go.
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to read a scripture because we believe in God, we believe in his son, Jesus, and we believe we are saved by the blood and we are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit because Jesus told us he's going to leave us, but the Holy Spirit is with us. So Jesus is like us because when he began his ministry, he was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph and the son of Healy, Mary. But, and here, this is from a book, 52 Weeks Devotional by James Merritt. And it's just really cool because it says Jesus was just like us, born with a past and history. And we have been made to become like him. God wants us to all be a masterpiece of his grace and living for his glory and expressing his goodness to others. So, you know what? Be the change you wish to see. I always end the show over at Eyes Wide Open where I say, be well, be best, be free, and be the change you wish to see. You know something? We have to love each other. We are called to love each other. It's the greatest commandment. And, God, we hope to glorify you by doing this show and in everything we do, God. And, God, we thank you for shedding your grace on this country, this country that was found in Philadelphia. And philo means brotherly love. It was a country that was found on brotherly love. But, God, you have given us so much in this country. You have given us freedom. You have given us liberty, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of thought. So, God, we hope to honor you by doing this, and we ask for your provision and protection for our president, for our country. And, God, we ask that people awaken and awaken to the truth, awaken to the truth, because truth has no agenda, God, and we know that. So we hope to thank you. We hope to glorify you. We hope to be the change in this world that is going to help be the solution to help restore America back to its original founding principles. And we do hold these truths, God, that all men and women are created equal. We are endowed by you, God, not by government. We are endowed by you with certain inalienable rights. And we know that it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But, God, we have forgot you. And maybe part of it is because we have been such a prosperous nation. Like, God, we know that you told the Egyptians, remember me. The Israelites left Egypt. You did give them prosperity when they left Egypt, and they had prosperity, and we forget you sometimes. So, God, let us always be the people that start out our days with gratitude and have that attitude and be helpful, loving, kind, and joyful with each other. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak, and hopefully we honor you and glorify you. In Jesus' strong and precious name, amen. In the name of the Father,
amen.
Son, and Holy Spirit. And Mayor, what else? Anything else for today's founding
yes,
show?
I actually have one, you know, just like on the five, I have one more thing, and
okay.
It's very beautiful. It was a tweet from Charlie Daniels one day prior to his passing, and
aww.
It's a scripture from John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Mm-hmm. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Amen.
And God bless
Amen.
Charlie Daniels, and I'm glad he's up there with God, and he's playing his fiddle. And, you know, I just truly believe that we are on the winning side. America has
Amen.
To believe in America again. All right. And
yep.
thanks so much,
Amen.
Everybody, for listening. We certainly are a lack for words. And please
yeah.
email us at twogalswithtwonames@gmail.com. Any comments? We'll look over the nasty ones, but that's okay. Everybody's
hey,
got a right to an opinion.
Yeah,
yep, no doubt, no doubt. And please contact us with any ideas. What you're doing, what are you doing to help make sure that we have a safe and fair election?
Fair election.
Okay.
Well, maybe next week
right.
we'll talk a little bit more about grassroots community organizing because, hey, you know what? That's where the action's at. And I know that you helped me do some stuff back in the day. So, friends, we do want to thank you for joining us here at Two Gals with Two Names on Tuesday. Come back next time. Download the podcast. And don't forget, go to awakenamerica.us. You could download your constitution. And you could listen to me, Carol Ann, at Eyes Right Open Radio. And that's eyesrightopen.org. Or go, you can download the podcast there, or go to AM560 The Answer and go to the podcast tab and go to Eyes Right Open. There's a lot of information there, too. But again, like Mary says, contact us. And if you're running for office or if you have some wonderful solutions, S-O-U-L-U-T-I-O-N-S, solutions, we want to hear from you. So again, be well, be blessed, be free, and be that change you want to see. This is Carol Ann P. and Mary Lynn B. So we will see you next time right here with at Two Girls, Two Gals with Two Names on Tuesdays. Bye, Mary. Love you, sister. Love y'all. Have a great day. And we're going to sign out.
Love you, too, and God bless America.
God bless America. We're going to play a little Boston with Peace of Mind. And I hope everybody enjoys us as we take it out with Boston. Okay?
Yeah.
Hopefully
and we got a rally coming up on Saturday night. New Hampshire, Portsmouth.
Awesome. Bye, girls. Talk to you later. God bless you.
Stay safe, folks.
See you next time. Bye-bye.